Hello, hello. How's everybody doing out there? Talking Shit Tuesday. That's right, Talking Shit Tuesday. One of those shows that a lot of people tend to hate because I tend to expose the truth. And I think I challenge a lot of the well-established narratives that people that used to have the power used to control, namely magazines. Now you're starting to see little things here and there, drips and drabs of people starting to release videos, and people are starting to get knowledge elsewhere with the advent of YouTube and actual DIYers that work on cars. They end up trying something, not necessarily be beholden to a company, not selling parts. People are getting independent knowledge from different places and they're learning. And that, I think, is the biggest threat. Magazine writers and stuff like that has. And today I was, you know, taking a shit. And I thought to myself, when I would listen or I would read Muscle Mustangs and Fast Forwards, 5.0 Magazine, yada, 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 I thought to myself, wow, these guys seem really knowledgeable. But when you actually decompile it, you go, wait a minute. I remember back in the day, they used to talk about Canfield Heads left and right. Remember Canfield Heads? Canfield Heads everywhere. And not one motherfucker runs those shits. And I wonder what happened to that whole selling point. Meaning, was Canfield pushing that stuff and telling people that it would rip the cords off of your tires? So I said, wait a minute. Every time a magazine writer went somewhere, he went to the manufacturer or the provider or a company pushing a product. So now what you're starting to see is people are not really believing what magazine writers online or whatever say, because people like me and online DIYers, doers, like we are doers. Like P. Diddy was a doer.
Oh, wow. Oh, fuck. Fucking
shit. You can say what you want about the guy, but he was an absolute doer. So what I want to talk about today is something that happened to me at Texas 2K that made me go, why would this person say this to me unless there was maybe a narrative being put out there that I am wrong? Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Heads up. Something's coming up that you might want to know about because we're refuting everything you say. We'll have Mr. Bill O'Reilly say hello to the people after we get the sponsors out of the way.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
It always sucks. So P-Mask, that's right. I've already ordered a P-Mask cold air intake for the 13 Mustang. I am going to do a test nobody has ever done. You'll see when it shows up. T&H Performance, T&H Performance.com. I paid for some drag radials, ET Street SS's, 285, I think 4019, so they fit on the Brembo wheels from DNAHPerformance.com. They had them in stock. Ship them next day, dnahpperformance.com, parkfarm.com, and I gotta get a deck lid for them so I can make the car look halfway decent. Parkfarm.com, I looked up their site, they got a bunch of deck lids, a bunch of used parts, especially for Mustangs. Check them out, theparkfarm.com. Caliber Transmission, calibertransmission.com. We got the transmission stuff figured out, we got the slate screw stuff figured out, got the new couplers coming his way. I'm trying to get the ZR1 here in about a month or so. Balak! I just found out Balak Wheels is Caleb backwards! He's got a kid named Caleb. So he named his company Balak. Tuara Solution in Puerto Rico, the best domestic mountain shop in Puerto Rico. Tuara Solution. And MFP of Australia. MFP, we're trying to get those crank supports so we can do some giveaways. I'm going to try to do my best to do giveaways. I might give away the cams for the GT500 today. I've been trying to do that, but I'm not 100% because I'm not really set up for that today. I just want to talk about this magazine stuff that I thought was really funny. Something that happened to me at Texas 2K. Because in the moment, you don't think about it. And then you go, why the fuck did he do that? 2000 MCR, Holmes, hello. Travis Clean, 93 GT, and Anthony were the first people to say hello. Leon Phillips, Guy Bravo, Monty 540, B. Lavesh, D's Nuts, EPA, SK Productions, Deuce Did It, Dixon, Joe Swish, Ken McAllister, Kip, Clip Clop the Horse, Omar, Mocky Mock, Jared Wells, Coca-Cola, Josh Roy, John Jones, Michael Loreno, Dan Young, Dude Chris, if it's not chopping like a motherfucker, it ain't worth shit. Carter CV, More Pews, More Boosts, Ignacio Ramirez, Gallo Bravo, Victor, Jared, Mendoza's, That Dude Chris, Gregory Ovich, Killa, Here to Find Out, Cole Daniel, Danny Bill. Danny Bill, what's up, brother? Big Jake, Elva Galarga, Michael Loreno, Elva Galarga, EPA, Zach Anderson, The Wolf, Big L, Pitino, Performance, Matt Oliver. We got Justin Michael, what the hell is this? One of One RTR, Click Clap the Horse, Ed Diaz, Tony. Someone says, what the fuck was that? A sound clip? That's your boy Meek Mill getting rammed by Mr. Diddy himself. John Lund says, I'm here and I'm doing good. I miss Tony and Alex. What's up, Mr. John Lund? He is cleaning everything up at the shop, and I'm going to grab everything S197 he's got that I can use. Craig Walls, Mr. Billet Noonan himself, here to find out. Johnny Trans, Brad Bradley, Elver Galarga again. Clip Clop, John Bailey, One of One Archer, Edwin Martinez, Isaac, Edwin Rosario Jr., Ken Phillips, Ian Oz, Ed Diaz, Dr. YouTube, Oscar, Matt Oliver, and Bryson Wick, Cole Daniel, Freedom. John Lund says, 6 already, Terminator, oof, nothing. Raymond, Hoodie, and John again. Thank you for being active in the chat, Mr. John Lund. Second place, nothing to sneeze at the Texas 2K Streetcar event. So we're at Texas 2K, and you got to understand, when I go to Texas 2K, we go there to race. So I really am not in the mindset of like pushing anything I got going on. I'm not YOLO douchebag. I'm not looking to get a lot of content. I'm not videoing nonstop for the show. I video when I can. I use other guys' clips, Brandon's and Seton Jr.'s. And I try to make one video out of a general thing. World Cup was different. I had a little more time at World Cup. It was a little more organized, and the weather was better. So I was able to plan videoing better. So a magazine writer, Galimi, Mike Galimi. Now, I have never met him before. And if I had met him before, I apologize. But that was the first time I remember meeting him. And I had never really had conversations with the guy, like, at all. So he says, hey, man, how you doing? I just want to give you a heads up. We did an article the other day of an LT Chevy motor, and it made more power on DI than on port injection. In the moment, I'm thinking tires, I'm thinking fuel, I'm thinking ice, I'm thinking I gotta eat, I'm thinking I gotta worry about the golf cart being charged, I'm worried about tools, I'm worried about Brian Luna's stuff, if I help him, I have to, I'm not thinking about stuff I've said on my channel, you know, a long time ago. So he just brings this up out of the blue. So I go, well, it should make more power. Isn't the LT designed to run off of DI? Like, make it make sense to me. Is the LT motor from Chevy, wasn't it always DI? And didn't they build it with DI in mind? So wouldn't it make sense that if you add port injection to it, run it only on port injection, and then switch it over to DI, that it would make power on DI also, or even more power, because it was designed to do so? So I said, well, yeah, it was designed with DI in mind, so why wouldn't it make more horsepower? But at the time, I didn't really decompile it. And one thing I do is usually kind of let things kind of simmer, let me get established again, and let me get my, you know, get the orders out of the way. And then I'm like, why the fuck did he say that? That was weird. Why would you bring up something that has nothing to do with the show, LT Motors? This is why. On this show, I have said that the DI doesn't matter one motherfucker on Mustangs. Like, not one
motherfucker. Not one motherfucker!
So maybe in an article somewhere, somebody wrote down that the DI really helps with power. That the DI really helps with, you know, everything. So maybe this show, who, I don't know, has some credibility behind its name, starts saying the opposite when it comes to the Ford platform. The Ford platform, the DI to me is just supplemental, not reliant on that specific system to make power. Because when you see where the injectors are on a Coyote, they're pretty goddamn right above the valve. It's like, whoop, it's right there. So the DI supplements the port. So if you were to shut off the port and go full DI, like we tested at Lund Racing and saw no change, well then, because we did something and had control of the test, we can then say, well, it didn't really make that big of a difference, DI, port DI in the Ford platform. But a magazine writer does an article on an LT, and then states, kind of,
hey, just a heads up, when this article comes out, you might be looking kind of stupid because of the stuff you said. And I'm thinking, how would I look stupid? It's LT. Why don't you just make a completely different distinction to try to say I'm wrong? Why don't you just say, well, you know, we got this flathead Ford and we did something to it, so Alex is wrong. It's a completely different motor. It's a completely different design. It's a completely different design that was designed for optimizing the DI because that's what they intended on that platform. So now that I've thought about it and gone, why the fuck would someone say something like that? Is because they basically said, you're wrong, Alex. Imagine the first thing you hear from a person you meet officially is, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And this article is going to highlight how you're wrong. So then I went, wait a minute. What do you know? And how do you know it? What do magazine writers know? And how do they know it? They hear it from either the manufacturer or the person selling the product. That's right. If I was a magazine writer, independent, and I go to Jim Farley, and I'm like, dude, you know, tell me what's the best car out there. Oh, by far, it's the Lightning and the Mustang Mach-E. And I go, oh my God, he wouldn't say a lie. And I go and type that up in my article. It's amazing. Do you know how many magazine writers look fucking stupid right now by popping off on the Lightning and the Mach-E, and it is a complete piece of shit? Do you know how many magazine writers are trying their best to push the 24 Mustang to be a viable deal? Even look at what's happening with Whipple. Whipple is putting stuff on cars, and they're claiming 800 plus horsepower, then figuring out it doesn't do it without octane booster. Some people blew their cats up, gutted them, and didn't tell nobody. I know who, but I'm not going to go out there and tell, but I got the information. So I'm starting to go, okay, so when a magazine or an article writer, whether it's online or whatever, they used to be the gatekeepers of information. They used to be the people that you would list. You would run to Barnes & Noble's or the bookstore, and you get the Mustang and Fast Forge, and you're like flipping through it to see what the deal is. But now in the digital age, we have YouTube, we have Instagram, we have podcasts. We have a lot of people that are doers that don't have to push a product or sell a product, giving you different information. And then you got shows like this, which, if I'm not mistaken, this is the only show that says everyone in the industry is full of shit. Like, everyone is full of shit. How do I know that? Based on what I do. So I wonder if that was a bit of a, hey, just to let you know, I'm going to write it. And, you know, I don't want to hear from you, okay? I don't want clarification. I don't need clarification. I know what the intent was. The intent was, hey, just to let you know, article's going to come out. It's going to make you look kind of stupid. And I'm like, actually, it's not, because it's an LT platform. Now, if you were to do the test with a Mustang, I would want verification. Remember the LS versus Coyote argument? Remember the LS versus Coyote competition or whatever the fuck they had on a magazine? And they stated that this is an apples to apples comparison. And then you had chains flying off of the Coyote. Chains flying off of the Coyote, belts flying off of the Pro Charger. They had a Boss intake with ComCam Gen 3s, and no offense to the tuner, he wasn't a Coyote tuner. He was an LS guy that just happened to tune stuff on Coyote. So I said, how the fuck is this an apples to apples comparison? But if you read that article, you would have thought to yourself, yeah, LS beats Coyote. And I'm like, okay, but let's flip the script. Let's get a Ford tuner and have him tune the LS, and then let's say the results are the other way, where the Coyote made more power for less money. Everybody would be screaming that, why didn't you have a competent LS tuner on there? So magazine and article writers, they get their information from people selling or manufacturing the product. They don't go third party and go, tell me what you think about this, because you have thousands of vehicles that you have tuned, thousands of vehicles that you have built. Like, how many times have you seen Jake Long do an interview? Yeah, Jake Long of Power by the Hour. How many times have you seen him sit there and do an interview? Never, because he'd have to be honest. And I guarantee he and I think on the same wavelength because I talk to him all the time. But he's not going to go out there and publicly say anything against the norm because then the public backlash is, you know, pretty violent sometimes. But I love the public backlash because I love proving everybody wrong. So I wondered, where do you guys get your information? YouTube, because YouTube now, I've seen some of these car rebuilders. It's very popular to have these shows or these pages where a guy buys a car off of auction. Then he has to do independent research to fix the car and then flip it and try to make a profit. And then he shows you everything all along. And that's where I learned the most out of different platforms. I learned more about GTRs from a certain guy who bought a red one recently than I've ever learned, because he has to do independent research, go out of his way to find out what the pros and cons, talk to the companies themselves, put them on the phone and go, oh, this guy's actually doing independent research and he's saying stuff that I never knew. Like, I thought GTRs, stock bottom end, stock turbos, just tune and ethanol would make 1,000. Come to find out, no, you got to upgrade the turbos. And if I'm pump gas, it might be in the 800 range. And I'm like, well, that's it? On a kind of heavy car? Oh, I'm not super impressed, especially for the price of the vehicle. So I learned a lot from people like that. So where do you guys get your information? And do you read magazines anymore and articles and believe anything about it? Because I've had personal experience of a writer talking to me to tell him why a product is good and he had no idea. And all of a sudden, they end up writing everything I said in an article as if it was law without doing any independent research to vet what I said. Interesting subject matter. Do you even care what magazine writers actually write down? Or do you get most of your information from your tuner, YouTube, or people you follow on Instagram or whatever that you trust? We'll talk about it a little bit today and get after it. Someone says, Big L says, if Ford and Chevy came together and helped make this DI system, then that'll be a different story. Just my guess. Ford does the DI emissions. Chevy is using it for more performance application. Basically, two different types of setups. Shouldn't be a hard concept to get from a writer or someone in the know. The writer said it to me as if to say, just in case, giving you a heads up, we're doing an article. And I'm like, on an LT? Like, if you did it on the Coyote, I would understand. And then I'd want to see the data. But he said it as if to say, you're going to get some backlash, buddy. And I'm like, no, I'm not. It's a fucking LT. I don't know shit about LT stuff. Richard T. Hedina says, as a Ford tech, I get a lot of info from being in the industry from Ford platforms. And even then, there's a great information from builders and tuners pushing the platform that find imperfections in the R&D. That's the thing, though. A lot of people, if you go to the Street Alpha podcast, when he shared the clips on my profile on Instagram, just look at the conversations underneath that post. Nobody knows what the fuck they're talking about. The vast majority of people don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I get notifications all the time and I see these arguments and I'm like, I am not even going to get involved in this because these guys are not even in the same fucking zip code in terms of information. They're just popping off about what they heard on TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff. Hell, today, a popular TikToker is getting tuned by me and Lund Racing, of course. And I saw something in the data log based on my experience that I didn't like. It's an ESS manual 19. I go, I had one of those on E85 in a fuel system. I had one of those. So after sending him a tune, he goes wide open throttle to 6,000 RPMs. The knock sensors are not happy. And I said, that's not proper. The car should have very happy knock sensors on a dyno in fourth gear with a centrifugal. Plain and simple. So I asked him, do you have proper crankcase ventilation on this car? Now, I've never asked that question on a car, but because I popped a number 8 Ringland on my personal vehicle because I'm a doer, I said, let me see if I can catch this before it becomes an issue. He goes, I don't. I have the factory PCV system and I have a sealed catch can on the passenger side. I go, okay, before we go any further, are you willing to buy a catch can that vents to atmosphere via 2-into-1 like a UPR catch can? He goes, I am. I'm absolutely willing to do that. I said, you are? He goes, yep. I go, if you could do that, that'd be great. We'll log it on the street, ensure everything's happy on the street, then we'll put it on the dyno and make the power you want to do. I probably, or not, who knows, but I probably saved them a motor because at 6,000 RPMs, the knock sensor should be quiet as fuck on an E85 ESS car and 100mm pulley. I tuned 100 of them. And this one started complaining. I said, let's look at the crankcase ventilation. I don't know if it's evacuating it enough, and I don't want piston rattle, and I don't want a ring lamp popping on your shit. Now, I'm hoping that he learns from that and goes, hey, look, my tuner said this, da-da-da-da-da, and I'm not looking for rep, but I'm looking to save his motor. No one would have picked that up. People would have been like, oh, your exhaust rubbing, you did it. Let's desensitize the knock sensor. I'm like, bro, let me see your PCV system. Based on experience, his shit was like my 19 was, and then after my 19 got fixed, I got open air element breather, no issue anymore. AJ says he took my advice and comments a while back and started listening to Alex Smart Move, YouTube and everywhere for research, then talked to my tuner for builders, and they know what works, so they have the final say. Raymond says, early 2000s, muscle, and fast forward. Nowadays, you, Alex, thanks. Appreciate that. All I give a shit is about Coyote stuff, so all I get information from my tuner, which is you, all my car knowledge from everyday work. Magazines make their money through ad dollars, not subscriptions. Once you know that, it taints all of their reviews. Who remembers sports compact? I don't care. He said compact, sport compact car. I don't fuck with import stuff here. No offense, Zay Mustang. JD Bruce says, these guys, like the ones in Street Alpha podcast comment section and other places, are complete bums. Okay, I didn't say that. You said that. You know you're doing something right when the magazines go out of their way to try to prove you wrong. And that's where, as a 46-year-old man with a little bit of a following, I started going, oh, they don't know nothing. They don't know anything that the manufacturer doesn't tell them. They don't know anything independently. Guys, they were pushing Godzilla stuff. Remember the Godzilla, how it was going to take over the world? Remember the Iron Block Coyote? Did you see FFRE go, oh my God, Iron Block Coyote? I can't wait to get that. And then Lund Racing, Brella Salas car, 1 and 2 street car, have Predator OEM casted blocks with their sauce on it. FFRE sauce. So anyone ever that says, the Iron Block Coyote is going to be serious, shut the fuck up, stupid. If anyone says, the Godzilla is a viable race engine, shut the fuck up, stupid. One thing you got to do in this industry is you got to be able to make calls before it's popular. I don't put my finger to the wind and go, oh, what's everyone else getting? Let me do that. No. When Godzilla came out, I thought it was a fucking dud right off the rip. 7.3 liters? 400 horse? Junk! Iron? Junk! We all know that a big-ass, big cubic inch hunk of shit like that is gonna have issues. If you want to swap it in your F100, nothing wrong with that. Don't you dare tell me this thing is a coyote killer. Everyone is shutting the fuck up after these cars are living in the sixes with basic shit. Please, please stop it. I've seen the Godzilla Cobra Jet shit all over Instagram the past couple of days. People are still pushing that narrative. All you need to run sevens is about 1,200, 1,300 horsepower in about a 3,000-pound car with a turbo 400. That's all you need. If the car's light enough, geared properly, that's it. I don't think you need 1,500. I don't think you need 1,500. I think you need about 1,200 or 1,300. You don't think a fucking Godzilla can live a little bit long enough to make 1,500 and run sevens? Didn't the Cobra Jet from Ford run eights with a Coyote? Before it was a 5.4, then a... it was Coyote. And then there was rumored to be a test mule, twin turbo Coyote. I don't know why Ford just doesn't develop that. Like, does Ford not have the access to what the aftermarket has? Like, how can Lund Racing and other racers build a Billy Badass twin turbo Coyote and Ford can't on a Cobra Jet platform, which is no holds barred? You have billions in company backing. Ford can't build you a twin turbo 400, 750, Cobra Jet car that they can offer to the public? Apparently not. And it tells me a lot that they can't. They'd rather try on an electric version and not really get after it on a twin turbo Coyote version. So freaking weird. Exactly. Look, nobody was popping off on the V10 Triton. Nobody. Oh my God, V10 Triton. I can't wait to... This dude's breakdancing back there. No, V10 Triton. I can't wait to put... Nobody did it. A couple of guys are starting to do it now, which I think is kind of funny because it's like 20 years too fucking late. But everyone, if you go watch my Godzilla is a dud video, everyone's like, you're so stupid. You don't understand. And then this is what people do. They start giving you the fucking specs of the car to justify their argument or the specs of the engine. Alex, this stroke, this bore, this crank, these heads, this is an X275 motor right off the rip. Yeah. Sosa says, everyone here, Jesus Christ, the living God is coming back. So, wait, hold on.
Oh,
wow. Everyone in here, Jesus Christ is coming back. Oh, come on. Why didn't you just let me finish it? Oh, he deleted it. God damn it. Too bad. The only thing that Godzilla has on the Coyote is the weight. The Zilla might keep the nose down a little lower on... Oh, stop it. You said it years back. Motors were made for heavy-duty trucks, nothing else. Ban Sosa for spam, exactly. It's okay. I thought it was gonna, you know, I was just gonna read his comments, but he's just trying to spout the, you know, the word of Jesus Christ. He just loves God. Nothing wrong with that. So anyway, it kind of made me think, man, magazine writers don't know shit unless it's told to them. So the next time you read about a part or anything that any magazine writer puts out on the Chevy side, on the Mopar side, or on the Ford side, where is that information coming from? Is it coming from the people manufacturing it and selling it? Or is it coming from a shop that has put it in 1,000 cars and it has worked so... Why do you think I say 4 Innovations fuel system all the time? Why? Because I have literally never seen an issue with one. I'm not saying 1 or 2. 0. Like an issue with the kit. FC3 controller or FC2 controller, plug and play. As long as it's routed properly, no hop switch, take the hop switch, throw it in the fucking garbage, 2 pumps full time, never had an issue. I have seen issues with every other kit on 3, some budget fuel systems. I've seen it all because on 3 does make a fuel system. I've seen it blow fuses all the time. So I'm like, I don't know why you would want 1,000 horsepower and you have nothing but Chinese parts in the shit. And wonder why you have issues. You think that Ford, since they outsourced everything, don't have access to the modules. I said this a bunch of times, JD Bruce. Ford does not have access to the DCT. Ford does not have access to the seatbelt module. Ford does not have access to the ABS module. Ford does not, I mean, maybe they do. But there are certain modules in Ford vehicles that Jim Farley actually said that they don't have access to. Now I got to look at the sound clip. Jim Farley module access. Okay, he said we have 150. Yeah, here we go. What OTAs, let me see. Explain why Tesla's vertical integration wins.
We farmed out all the modules that control the vehicles to our suppliers because we could bid them against each other. So Bosch would do the body control module, someone else would do the seat control module, someone else would do the engine control module. Right. And we'd have about 150 of these modules with semiconductors all through the car. The problem is the software are all written by, you know, 150 different companies, and they don't talk to each other.
Right.
So even though it says Ford on the front,
yeah,
I actually have to go to Bosch to get permission to change their seat control software.
You see what I'm saying, guys? A lot of people think that because a Ford vehicle comes out of Ford, that Ford has all the access to everything on it. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Ford has access to whatever Bosch, Siemens, or whatever, hey-o, gives them access to. So you got to understand that they have no idea what's going on with the car. So when people say, when is Ford going to give you access to the DCT? They're not going to give you access to the DCT because they don't have access to the DCT. Tremec does. And do you think Tremec's going to go, oh yeah, here you go. Here you go, bro. No problem. Here's the ability to change the tuning on a DCT. Oh, yeah. We're still going to warranty it. Fuck no. Tremec built in so many nannies, so much torque reduction, so much silliness that even if you hack your way around in the tune with torque stuff, because that's what tuners are doing. They're going into the torque tables and manipulating that. That's why when you go to NMRA and you hear a low 9 second GT500 drive to the staging lanes, it drives like shit to the staging lanes. I'm like, why is a $100,000 car driving like shit to the staging lanes? Because they have a tune on it that has manipulated torque tables up the ass, and then it runs a halfway decent number out the back, 9.1. That is the hard limit, pretty much. If you go 8, you do it with a 3.8 Whipple and a Glory Hero Pass, not a consistent bracket 8.8, 8.7 car. Sorry. I know I'm saying the outsourcing is the reason they can't develop like a twin turbo variant or software or control, something like that, but that doesn't make sense on a Cobra Jet. To me, Cobra Jet is specifically Ford Performance. So Ford Performance should say, hey, let me get some Garretts, let me get some Harts, let me get some Precisions, get their airflow people. Okay, here you go, make a turbo kit. And then get their Turbo 400 integrated with the Coyote. Use Vision or whatever the fuck you use and tune it to make 2,000 horse and run well into the sevens. I'm blown away by that. Back when I did car stereos, a smart man threw down a pile of magazines and said he would give me $100 if I could find one bad review of a product, and it taught me never to trust them. Threw down a pile of magazines and said he would give me $100 if I could find one bad review of a product. He's right. That's a great, right. There are bad products out there. We all know, guys, I don't have to mention the bad products, and this is why I don't mention a lot of products that suck, because we know a lot of products that suck. With On3, I actually said they make power, but they're shit quality. They're made in China, but they make power. And even they got butthurt about that. Imagine getting butthurt about saying the truth about your product. I know fuel systems that are straight muff cabbage, but if I go online, what happens? They catch feelings. They go on Facebook and complain. They complain to my fucking boss. Vendors that are Lund dealers will say, why is Alex talking shit on a product I make 50% margins on? Right. It's not about what's good for the customer. It's about what the bottom line. So at the end of the day, I stay quiet about certain things. But today, a guy asked me, Alex, I'm going to buy a set of old pump gears and a crank sprocket. Everyone in online is telling me to buy this. You know the company. And I said, for my money, I buy TSS or Ford Performance stuff. TSS old pump gears and crank sprocket, or a GT500 pump with those old pump gears and the pickup, and a Ford Performance crank sprocket that is billet. I didn't have to negatively sell what he thought. I didn't say, oh, fuck that company. No, I simply said, I'm not a fan. By the way, that company, not a representative, but a guy that works in the production line, came up to me at Texas 2Kick. I'm organizing all of John Lund Sr.'s tools to make things easier. I got him spread out on the table, and this guy goes, hey, man, I guess he's a fan. What do you think about them old pump gears? And I went like this. Do you want me to be honest? And he goes, of course. And I go, how are these made? And he explained to me the process. I go, why not EDM? I think it's EDM, the name, the electronic whatever, where it's super, super tight tolerances. I think it's EDM. That's music. ED. What's the process? Guys, tell me what the process is of cutting metal a certain way so that it's not CNC'd. I think it's ED something. It might not be M. M is music, electronic dance music. But it's EDC or ED something. And I said, unless it's made that way, I recommend gears that are made that way. And he was like, okay. And I go, and the reason is, and I went, 1, 2, 3. And I gave him constructive, criticism. I did not say you guys are trash. No, it's not CNC. It's EDM. Thank you. It's EDM. This motherfucker said CNC. Yeah, Manic. Exactly. So TSS is the best. TSS is the best. So EDM, according, let me see the EDM process. EDM cutting process. EDM is a thermal process for removing unwanted material by applying cycle discharging sparks in the gaps between an electrode and a conductive workpiece. Electrical discharge machine. So okay, there we go. So let's get some learning on, guys. This is what this channel is about. EDM. So apparently, this is the EDM process. Boom. Here we go.
Erosion continues. The machine controls advance the electrode through the work, always maintaining a constant gap distance between it and the workpiece. To understand how EDM removes metal, let's examine a single spark in the erosion process. As a pulse of DC electricity reaches the electrode and part, an intense electrical field develops in the gap. Microscopic contaminants suspended in the dielectric fluid are attracted by the field and concentrate at the field's strongest point. These contaminants build a high conductivity bridge across the gap. As the field's voltage increases, this material in the conductive bridge heats up.
So, obviously, this doesn't sound like a cheap process. This sounds expensive. And that's what the gentleman said. I said, why don't you use this as your method of making that material? He says, it is very expensive. I go, I understand. But I, Alejandro Flores, in my years of messing with coyote stuff, have never seen an issue. Have never seen an issue. So I'm hoping that he didn't take it as a slight on his company. And this is what I said. The reason I don't say this publicly is because I know people that have been threatened with legal stuff because they say stuff. So I'm like, I ain't looking to do that shit. But in the system, when someone asks me what to get, GT500 stuff or TSS stuff, period. And why do I say that? I'm not getting paid by TSS. I'm not getting paid by for performance. I just want you to have the best shit out there based on my experience. Electric discharge machining work is crazy to watch. Let's say electric discharge, let's go to YouTube because again, where do you do your learning? Let's watch something that's machined quickly so it's not super boring like that video was. Electric discharge, there you go, machining. Let me see if there's another video that is, introduction to EDM. It has to be fast, guys. There we go, I'll do a short. Let's do shorts quick because I can't sit there and watch a whole fucking instructional, but this is basically the gist of it. Can you get tolerances that tight with CNC? Not just no, fuck no. And about the last thing you want to do, with your oil pump is have varying tolerances based on CNC machining. That's all. Johnny Tran says, zero Tremec DCTs are tunable, Corvette, Mustang, etc. If the GT500 gets it, it's because the Corvette got it first. Your dog just looked up like, what the fuck did you just say? Aside from being set up to run on a swap with a return style fuel system, does Ford Control Pack have any improvements in the tune? I don't even understand the question. What? The control pack M.8, the tune is exactly the same, except this doesn't have any body control module stuff. A control pack tune from Ford Racing is exactly as that generation's tune minus body control module and ABS stuff. That's all. It's just pared down nannies. In the calibration itself, it's exactly the same. Metal from pre-famulated amulite surrounded by malleable logarithmic casing is such a way to the two spurving bearings or in a direct line with the pneumatic fan. The seamless of EDM pleases autism. Justin Michael just copy pasted a whole bunch of stuff. Do you still hold the same opinion on VMS and Forge race stars? So Are you new to this channel? So a lot of people think that I hate VMSs. That's stupid. It's like hating Metro PCS. I don't hate Metro PCS. It's a poor people provider. That's okay. Everyone needs to get online. Some of us that like a reliable network choose Verizon because we can afford it. The rest of you go to Cricket, you go to Walmart prepaid, or you get a Metro PCS. Nothing wrong with that. I choose my wheels to be made not in China, and maybe some kind of more, actually, well, this kind of made in China, isn't it? But I tend to want a better quality wheel, and I don't love VMSs. VMSs to me look fucking cheap, and they're heavy. They're heavy and cheap. That's what they're known for. They're not known to be awesome, high-quality wheels. Is it bad? No, but poor people want to race too, and that's okay. VMS is up your alley. There's a reason. There's a reason you have, look, the peasant kit, the peasant built, there is someone out there right now that has the following parts on their car. A name your budget return style fuel system. It has wires and fuses outside the bitch, not in a nice little box. You have chrome fuel lines, VMSs, BMR shit everywhere, and an on-3 twin turbo kit. I guarantee somebody has that build. Hell, half of Dallas. I named half of Dallas, the Dallas-Fort Worth mods on Mustangs. So is it bad? No. Is it cheap? Yes. Is it quick? Sure. The fuck you want me to do? Belak Weld Billet Specialties. Midget Talk says, Metro PCS versus Boost Mobile versus Cricket. Which class is for the most broke? I use them for work. Are they cheap? Yes. The rest of my build is not cheap. Apple and Verizon guy. What coilovers do you recommend for the front? I don't care. VMS. What are you doing? What are you doing, Jared? What are you doing? Are you racing? Have you ever heard me anything say anything about front coilovers but Viking stuff? Like, have you ever heard me say anything other than Viking stuff? Come on, man. Stop it. Do Forcharge F14s pass or not pass as being peasant wheels? They're not peasant, but they're not high-end. I got Forcharge CF10s, not because I'm trying to stunt. I simply like how they look. But they're not VMSs. Please, if you're trying to put VMSs and Forcharge on the same fucking line, well, that's on you. The picture Junior posted on Facebook of the duct tape special was a comedy. Did he actually post it? Wait a minute. Did he actually post it? If Junior posted that, I have a picture to show you. Where is it? Junior. If Junior posted a picture of that cold air intake, he probably did it. No, he didn't do it on his main page. He did it on the Lund Racing, Lund customer and support page, I hope. I wasn't going to talk about that, but I think we should talk about it. Let me see where. Okay, guys. If you're going to do this to your car, and again, I apologize, Papa, if this is your car, what the fuck are you doing, man? What the fuck are you doing? Look at this. Now, is Junior, are you on? Can you send me the picture I made? I made a picture template using this as a template. Guys, look at this. Cobra Jet intake. Look at this line over here on the left. Coiled up fuel line. Regulator. I don't know where the fuck this is going. And this is a cold air intake duct taped on the way down. But what does the order look like to us? Cobra Jet Gen 3 or Cobra Jet Gen 2? Cobra Jet Gen 2. Oh, and you guys go, Lund sucks. Maybe I should get another tuner. Maybe you should get another tuner. Excuse me? We didn't build that. I got to find it. I'm going to find. Hold on. Let me find the picture I sent to the guys today. Dude, I lost it. Let me see. Who's got... Oh, shit. I got to go find that photo. I made a Photoshop of that car. And it was perfect. Oh, man. I got to scroll up forever and ever. Holy shit. Oh, the download. Let's email it to myself. Hold on. Hold on, kids. This is going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. I swear to God. Oh, fuck me. Why does Gmail take so long to load? Like, just fucking load right now. Let's go. I'm paying $300 for internet. Let's get after it. Dude, it was a bent down cold air. And it was as if it was built by Turvey. So let me go on. Dude, don't ask me. Just send the fucking email.
You sure you want to send it without a subject?
Yeah, I do. Fuck. So you saw that duct tape cold air, right? That's what we deal with every freaking day. So basically, Photoshop it as an elephant dick. Oh, fuck. Dude, it was it's so crude. But oh, shit. Bro, mira, he's got 16 feet of fuel line in the engine bay. And you guys wonder. You guys wonder why we complain. We don't show you half of the shit we come across. If we showed you what people are doing out there, if we showed you, if we had an album of the builds that we see out there, you would never, ever complain about Lund if you're a Lund hater. You would go, yo, man, I'm sorry. Y'all tune in that? Yep. I mean, guys, there's a reason I come here and sound just frustrated as shit. Exactly. Those are the guys that want 900 horsepower 93. Those are the guys that hear things online and they believe it has the V2 version of the CJ, which is shittier than the V1 version. Unreal. Admiral Peck Engineering, exactly. Romex for a MAF extension harness. Well, too many words. Turvey and Peck combined their credit scores to get a Gen 3. Alex, did you see Steve M video of a supercharger blowing up on the dyno? Insane. What happened? No. But I'm not surprised. I heard Sophia liked the build. Is that Drake? Well, Alex, I think you need to learn your new tech. Don't you know by calling a fuel line 16 feet will help cool the fuel so it itemizes better? It'll definitely itemize better. I don't know about atomize, but it'll definitely itemize. It's like a distilling effect. You know how like you distill, you know, potatoes, make vodka or whatever, or beer? It's like the coil effect. Just, it has like a process of like atomizing. Yeah, I mean, dude, it's unreal. The guy that did that must run cabling for buildings, gave his fuel lines a serviced loop of 15 feet. How do you ever afford y'all? Bro, the elephant dick meme made me laugh so hard. Like, I look at it now and it's just, let me download it. I want to blow it up and like rotate it. Let me see. There it is. Can I zoom in? Wait. Hold on. Guys, this is the best fucking thing ever. Let's zoom in. Look at that fucking... Ah, fuck. Holy shit. Bro, not in my wildest... poorest dreams. Like, I could be dirt poor, 3 months behind on the rent, and like have sixth grade education. I would never even think of doing that. Now what I want to know is what's underneath that. We need to tell the customer, hey, can you like cut that so we can see it? And if, goddamn it, if it's dryer hose, if it's a dryer aluminum ducting, bro, stop it. I'll give him, I think I'll have to sponsor him because I feel bad. Diddy lurking in the chat, eyeballing the intake.
Oh, wow. Oh, fuck. Fucking shit.
Oh, oh, my Lord. Is it tuned by you guys? Yes. So Brandon was like, hey, friend, pal, buddy, what the fuck is happening in your engine bay? Fuel trims are whack. Shit's fucked. As a matter of fact, I was tuning one of those kits that you got to put on three times, and the shop guy goes, dude, the guy just dropped it off. All I'm doing is a tuning, but I'm going to take pictures of this bitch. MAF sensor housing's fucked up. Wastegate springs are too big or too high, too much boost. Like, the routing of the exhaust is, I'm like, bro, he's like, this is it. I go, I'll work with it, but he goes, dude, trust me. You don't have to tell me this is fucked up. You don't have to tell me this is jacked shit. I know it. I'm surprised it even made any power with your tuning. And I'm like, brother, we'll do what we can. Alex, you literally ran a coffee can as a cold air. I did, to prove a point. This guy did it as his main shit. Take that picture down. P. Diddy is going to want to make him a deal. He might run 87 octane. What the fuck did I just start watching? It's an elephant dick intake. What the Dodge elephant could have been, exactly. No way you played that live. I play it live.
Oh, bro, come bro, on, man.
What do you think Diddy flew away? Huh? He got up in Meek Mill's guts.
Oh, shit.
What it is, ho? What's
literally unreal. I bet that math curve is legit. That's a new elephant intake. That scene from Idiocracy. JLT gonna use this for his next series intake. Elephant did is better than he said. Elephant did is better than JLT. Oh, fuck, bro. That's very good, Anthony. It's very good. Alex, my mom is watching. Your mom is watching.
Oh,
why
bro,
is your mom
bro,
watching? Fuck. Why is your mom watching this show? Oh, bro. This is great. It's almost like Gen 1 manual or Gen 2 for drag. Read the room. Read the room, please. It's elephant dick and Diddy sounds right now. Come on. Read the room. Please tell me that's not actual Meek and Diddy. Still would gap a JLT. That's my cold air intake kit. Hence my name, says Elver Galarga. I just finally got your name. I just finally got your name. El Verga Larga. Oh my God, I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid. I thought your name was Elver Galarga, but it's. I never even put two and two together. Oh, fuck, bro. Bro said D-Mass. Who said D-Mass? Who the fuck said it's a D-Mass? Oh my God. A D-Mass. Please tell me who said D-Mass. Oh, Johnny Boy. Johnny Boy, it's a D-Mass intake. That's right. Coming at you. Well, did I delete it? Where is it? There we go. Introducing the D-Mass intake. This is absolutely... You know, the funny thing is, I didn't even try to like crop it properly. I just said, let me just shove this intake right under the elephant. And wouldn't you know it, this fucking thing just works. The D-Mass intake. Oh, Nick James, please make a D-Mass intake for April Fools. That'd be actually pretty funny. It's coming up. Oh, D-Mass intake. Oh, good shit, good shit. D-Max intake. Please tell me that's not real. Dude, which one? The P. Diddy slamming Meek Mill or the D-Mass? Oh, my Lord. I'm crying. So... We started talking about magazine stuff, and see, it just devolves into talking about elephant dick intake. Guys, did you know that one time I saw a square cold air intake? Square cold air intake, patent bending. This chat is wild. Lots of mass with the D-Mass. Poor fender well getting plowed. Exactly. Is that duct tape? It is duct tape. Now, what did Junior actually say in the chat? Order said, CJ with PMAS and a 200 shot. That's a 200 shot? That fuel line is responsible for holding the fuel for a 200 shot? Customer complains of misfire happening in high gear or low RPM. We asked for pictures. Now that we saw it, you have to. P.S. This makes me have trust issues. The more you look at it, I'm going to look at it. Guys, you guys got to look at it really closely and see if you spot any other shit. The fuel line, that's the nitrous solenoid. How much? Where is it going? Okay. Let's decompile this. Okay. I suspect this is the fuel line. Look at how far it has to travel for the solenoid. Wait a minute. What the fuck is happening here? Oh my God, he painted the throttle body. Oh shit. He painted the throttle body. And there's overspray on the coupler. Bro, it has a shield. What are you shielding, bro? Okay, hold on. I gotta see this. What is this? A save. I gotta see what this is. Let me. I gotta see this. We have to analyze this, and I'm gonna zoom in. I'm gonna zoom in to see what in the hell I'm looking at, because I am absolutely lost, and I am just dumbfounded that this thing is a thing. Okay, let's zoom in. Let's really analyze this, because it's a 200 shot Cobra Jet deal. Okay. Oh my Lord. Oh, there's a bracket. There's a bracket that looks to offset the tank. Okay. Guys, what? At least he's got breathers, because, you know, all that crankcase. So this is, what is that? That's a filter. Look at the shield. Look at the, what? Oh my God, what is this? Think, is that? Dude, is that not round? Because this, is that the airbox? Is this a sideways airbox? Oh my Lord. It looks like a PMAS, and then it went down. Look at the amount of line coming from the nitrous line. And something else is coiled up here. Oh my Lord, there's just, guys, we could be there all day and just analyze this. And, you know, We do have trust issues. Apologies, but we do have trust issues after seeing stuff like that. It's crazy. Oh my God, the chat just went crazy. No coolant. Yeah, exactly. What the fuck is going on with the bottom of the hood? What is going on with the bottom of the hood? Thank you. Is that the windshield washer fluid? That's the windshield washer fluid, it looks like. Bro, that's the windshield washer fluid? Bro, this is totally a Texas build. It looks like a Texas build. Anyway, that's enough of that. Again, if you guys sit there and say, Lund complains, Lund, just fucking tune it. Just fucking tune it. We used to have a logo, a Nike logo. And at the bottom, it said, just tune it. Because did you know how many times we heard those words from people? Can you just tune it? I saw a guy do a over the radiator intake, and it looked like a bent dick. And even Nick James at PMAS said, this is whack shit. But the person said, should I change tuners? Lund is saying that this is an issue. I'm going to change tuners. Now, if a tuner wants to mask it with a tune and just slam it rich and make it feel okay, even though the data is telling you shit's fucked up, vaya con Dios, hang out with your tuner, all good. We're not in the business of hacking our way around really bad parts. Not one fucking over the radiator intake. Not one motherfucker.
Not one motherfucker
ever has tuned well. It has been, it has never tuned well. I'd say this is a Turvy build, but Turvy doesn't have the money or knowledge to even get this far. Is it his dad's build? What does Carol Shelby say about Diddy? Call your nitrous line 10 times for the engine bay cooling. I sent the full res image to YDBT if you want. You have it? Thank you. Let me go check. I'll go check it. I mean, we're just fucking around. We talked about magazines, but now we can just make fun of this guy for the rest. Oh, Someone else sent me something. Oh, there you go. Oh, thank you, Devin. He sent me the elephant dick picture. There we go. This is way better. Bro. This is a way better picture. If you guys want to see the full resolution, it just gets worse. You know, the shield is what's blowing my mind right now. What is that? Yeah, the shield is, I'm looking at the shield. The more I look at the shield, what is this? Wait a minute. Is this a bolt in a vacuum line capping? There's a bolt. Guys, this is a bolt, right? Look at this. Okay, one, why does the line have to be so long? Two, why is there a bolt at the end of it? Oh my God, did we notice that in the chat? Hey, Lund Racing, did we notice that there's a bolt acting as a plug at the end of a vacuum line? Oh my God. Guys, you want to be a tuner? This is what you got to look forward to. You got to look forward to really shitty fucking builds everywhere. And they swear to God they know what they're doing. There's fabricators. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? People put the blow-off valves after the MAF sensor. I repeat, people have put blow-off valves on the intake charge pipe after the MAF sensor. So the MAF sensor goes, oh, look at all this air. And then when you let off, it doesn't get into the motor. And then what the fuck do you think happens?
Oh, I didn't think that'd be an issue. Oh, you didn't think that'd be an issue?
I did when I was posted in the chat. I hate all of it. I was asking about the one he painted gold. It looks open. My homeboy can do that for cheaper. Paisa build. He definitely came from a Honda. Did the one guy who built your GT500 do that work too? No. No. The bolt is attached to a string, so he pulls it while at Watt for more air, more power. He plumbed two nitro solenoid outlets together. VMP throttle body, putting in work. Is that proper venting to atmosphere? Probably ported back to being one hole. But Alex, the intake has soul exactly. So I'm kind of blown away that these builds are even a thing based on the amount of knowledge there is out there. So you almost have to go out of your way to not find good information out there. So when I bought my ZR1, I started looking around and I started going, no one is really telling me anything about these Corvettes. Everyone goes from stock to 1100 horse. There was no incremental thing. And that's why I thought, hey, maybe I can do that. Now, obviously, there's been a stalled progression in the Corvette build because second gear wasn't all that great. And I'm going to be honest with you, after doing a lot of research, I don't think I'm going to go the route of heat exchanger, lid, bricks, all this stuff. Lid maybe for power later for more airflow, but the mitigating of IAT issues on Corvettes is decent, but not great. And the more I looked into interchillers, a place called Force Inductions or something out of Australia, they make them for Hellcats, they make them for the C6 ZR1. It's about a $1,500 kit, but after upgrades, it's going to be like $2,500. And I thought to myself, that's something that would interest me. I would actually be interested in attempting just to see if it would work to mitigate IAT issues, because the Corvette is the worst one. Out of all my cars, the Corvette is the absolute worst one with IAT issues. I can do 1 watt pull. IATs get up to 160 plus. That's too hot for me. And I'm like, I don't have E85. I don't want to have to mitigate it with a fuel system. I don't want to have to get bricks. I don't want to have to get a heat exchanger. At the end of the day, I want it to be really robust. So I'd rather get something like an interchiller setup. So I'm going to look into that when I get it back and everything is good. But mechanically, I want the Corvette to be sound before I start throwing any more money at interchilling, and summer's coming. So that car's not going to be driven all that hard because IATs are definitely an issue. Midget Toss says, people that do this dumb shit are the ones that genuinely are clueless and don't know any better to look online or anything. They just think they know it and they're already ready to wing it. Alex, he's going to call Lund next month when his Metro PCS phone gets the minutes reset. How do you buy a Cobra Jet and just think it's a good idea to spray paint it gold? I think it's the Iron Man theme. Like, the more you look at that car, the more you go, I think he's an Iron Man fan. I bet the Elephant Stang has headliner lighting. He's a master fabricator. He's watching right now. He's going to call Senior. No, look, if Junior was good enough about putting it up on the Lund thing, I have no issue popping off about it, because there's certain things that I think need to be put out there. Now, we do a good job of keeping it quiet because we don't want to shame anybody, and you know how Facebook is, and you know how the Lund haters are waiting for an excuse to hate on Lund. But this was so egregious. They were like, bro, this is not a tuning issue. Do you know how many times I've said to the guy, are you willing to completely change your setup? And they go, I'll just tune it somewhere else. They tune it somewhere else. Listen up. The car runs a number, but then it blows up. And you never heard about it blowing up. All of a sudden, 3 or 4 months later, got a new bullet in there. I want to make more power. Whoa, 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 whoa. What happened to the old bullet? No, this thing just made too much power. Or, asshole, it was configured like shit. You spent another $1,000 at another tuner. He took your money because you're stupid. You went watt and you blew it up just like Lund said was going to happen. And now you have to build your motor. And while your motor was out, you fixed the issues Lund said were issues. Every freaking time. 160s with the factory tune on GT500 starts pulling timing that's high as hell. Exactly. Yeah, I don't care, Coca-Cola. That's too high for me. I don't want IATs being over 120. So I'll get an interchiller if I have to. Alex, for $1 million, would you let Diddy have his way with you? No one would ever know. I would know. See, what bugs me about the clip, it sounds like they're both enjoying it. Like, if you listen closely, it sounds like they both like what is happening. And, no. The painted VMP throttle body hurt me. Now that is, what did it say here? Nah, that's Chaplin theme. Chapulín. Oh my God, Chapulín? Remember Chapulín? So Chapulín, if it's a Texas guy, I can guarantee that he, you're right. It is Chapulín.
Más ágil que una tortuga.
That's right.
Más fuerte.
Where's the theme song?
Comediante.
Come on, I want the theme song. Where is the theme song? Come on, the theme song. Theme song. Themes. It's Chapulín. The guy was in Texas. He's like, coño, a mí me gusta Chapulín. Hey, what the fuck? That's it? Oh, so I'm thinking Chavo del Ocho. I'm thinking Chavo. I'm thinking Chavo del Ocho. That's the theme song I'm thinking about. Theme song. Oh my God, the Spanish guys are losing their minds right now. Oh my God, Chavo, fuck me. You know, only the Spanish guys know what the hell that was. White guys are like, what the fuck y'all looking at? Heading out. Enjoy the night. Appreciate the content. Keep it up, Alex. Downhill. Thank you so much. I know you're a newer follower and you've been pretty active on the comment section. I appreciate you. Hopefully you learned a little bit on this chat. Hopefully I've entertained you a little bit. And I appreciate the support. You have been a very strong supporter, being a recent subscriber and a follower. I appreciate you very much. Mexican OT is whack. Hope it's not just me that thinks so. He is whack. If you like Mexican OT, bro, you don't like music. That's terrible. I gray up watching that show. My childhood. Bro, can't lie. El Chavo went hard as fuck. Rest in peace, El Chavo del Ocho. That's got to be the new song for whenever these builds get brought up. Coming at you, a new D-Mass intake. Parece un bicho de elefante. It's gonna flow like shit. Stupid. The token white guy here, or Turvy's new intro song, Chespirito, was solid. No Diddy. Fuck. You know, I've never had that good of a... I mean, yeah, I have. I have a, not with a, with a guy, of course, with a girl. But man, that sounded wild. It makes you wonder. What kind of dog is that? A Chitru? Chitru? We making it on 956. What this one, cut. My boy Christian had a date with P. Diddy. Diddy, are you pretty active on Patreon? Mendoza's, yes. Guys, on Patreon, I have over 150 active conversations right now about builds. Alex, some guy hit me up. He said, hey, I want to do this, 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 and this. What do you think? I go, no, 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 yes, yes. And the no's, replace it with this, replace it with that. Do this, do that, bada bing, bada boom, and you're good. And he was like, bro, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Did it, had no issues, got a Lund tune, car's running great. I know that the information is difficult to come across on Facebook because everyone's selling you a product. Do you know that some of the pages are owned by parts companies? So everything that they put out there is sales tactics. If someone says, hey, what's the best tire to run on the street? We got Mickey Thompson SS's ready to go right now. When they're probably talking about like something regular, like a 4S or something normal. So the problem with Facebook is even if you go to a forum or a page that you think is legit, it's owned by a parts company. And they have admins, and the admins actually push product. It's a fucking shit show, guys. The song also fits the Houston Trumpin' It Take Builds. First, S197 that gives me Fox Body flashback. I'm 24 and I still think 90s and early 2000s rap is the shit. Bro, I'm dead. If you clip that song, I'm going to be dying every time. Alex having an argument with my buddy. I say, you can go nines and a Fox Body for 25,000, car included. He says, no way. Of course you can. Okay. Fuck me. My Fairmont. If I was to sell the rolling chassis, wait a minute, what the fuck am I talking about, bro? Travis, just buy my Fox body. When it goes nines with nitrous, I'll sell it for like 10 grand. It's funny how the price keeps going up. I mean, here's 10 grand. Yeah, look, of course you can. Of course you can. Easily. $25,000 a Fox body go nines? Absolutely. The Patreon info is almost what forums used to be pre-Facebook. Well, you ain't wrong, Bryson. Wait, Alex is quick to respond to Patreon. Well worth the subscription. Thank you so much. If you ain't on Patreon, your mom's a hoe. Makes you wonder if it backshots or missionary. Boy, could you imagine they're facing each other? Why say that? The N-word in the middle of that. I've never said the N-word in the middle of sex. Here's some money for Publix chicken tender sandwich. Boy, you want to get me fat, but that is awesome. Did he watch the TDC? Well, okay, my cuz gets a Mustang. The only page I trust are the ones that DNA Hat Performance run. Twitter pages will ban you for name dropping certain coilover companies. Interesting. I'll take the Fox for $3, take it or leave it. Who just got their shit pushed in? What is your Patreon at? I'll go. Look, let's go to the Patreon because look, I try not to put it out there because it sounds like I'm trying to get everyone over there. But look, I'm going to tell you this. On Patreon, I absolutely... It tells you how much you got going on. I'd rather not show how much I make. It's weird. So it's... fuck. Let me. How can I hide that? I don't want it to... Why is it showing how much I make? I hate that. I'm trying to, it's not loading apparently. It's just taking forever. But anyway, I'll just post up the link because apparently the internet's ridiculously slow because I'm streaming and it's just being an asshole. Actually, it's probably being choppy on that end. It's Patreon. Actually, if you go to my, the join in the description of this page, it actually says, you know, my actual Patreon page, but I try not to put it out there because it makes it sound like I'm trying to get you over there. I sound like a parts pusher, but that's my Patreon link. If you want to become a subscriber, it's 15 bucks a month. Now, what does 15 bucks a month get you? Access to me. I know, sounds stupid. It's dumb. It gets you access to me directly. Direct DM Alex. this is what I got going on. This is my project. What do you think I can get out of it? Alex, my differential blew up. What do you suggest? Alex, what tire? Alex, what are the settings on the shocks? I respond. I have an app on the phone. I respond ridiculously fast. So if you need any one-on-one consultation, Patreon is the way. I put up some videos once in a while. I post up a little blurb. I post up the vendors and the codes that support the channel. So I would definitely go there to get like more of a personalized experience. Whereas on YouTube, you're just helping out the channel. You get the cool badges. You get members only videos. So it's really up to you which one you want to use. I'm not going to tell you to dump one for the other. If you want personalized one-on-one help, Patreon is the way. No warp core breach. You want a warp core breach? I'll give you a warp core breach. Where's the warp core breach? Quick. Oh, I gotta turn it on first. There you go. Let's go quick. There you go. Let's get warp core breaches happening. Can I change the color? Oh, quick. There we go. Have a warp core breach on me. Patreon says how much money you're getting. Last time I saw it was 1700-ish. It's actually pretty close. Can I be Stan on Patreon? Yeah, Alex, we see how much you make on Patreon on our side. Wow, that's crazy. You see how much I make? Wow, that's cool. I mean, it's kind of nice. You see it's not crazy money, but it's a good amount. He's not lying. He does respond insanely quick. I feel bad responding instantly because I feel like I clog up the lines. No, sir. You got to understand, when I'm in bed and I'm death scrolling on Instagram, I'm probably on Patreon just talking to people about their builds nonstop. I wake up and there's like 10 messages. That's the first thing I do before I even get out of bed. Boom, 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 reply, because I want you guys to have a reply. And at least it feels like there's someone on the other line that gives a shit about your build. And I can see the history of our conversation. I can reference it. I wish one day Patreon would make it available that we can send pictures back and forth. So, you can see my cock. No, really, like some people send pictures of their engine bays, or they send it to me on Facebook or something like that. And it does help when it comes to like showing me something that you are referencing in terms of a build. Yeah, it does okay. I'm not going to lie. It does okay. And that's why I bought the gray car. I bought the gray car because I said Patreon is paying for the red car and all of the mods. So every time I deduct money from the Patreon, I buy something for the car. It is 100% funded by Patreon. Okay, the silver GT, the whatever, gray GT, 13 auto, is 100% a Patreon build. Everything else is for my personal job and the YouTube earnings. Damn, Patreon pocket watching like that, I guess so. It should be over 5,000 a month. Let's get it up, gents. That 956 fooled money is paycheck. Diddy was hitting Meek with Alex's move. I'd send you a calf pick. Dave Daly says, remember when back in the day people would get walked by a dude driving his grandmother's Taurus's SVO? Now, the last video I uploaded, guys, was the Fox Body private car meet. We'll finish the show talking about that. I was so happy that I went, because you guys got to understand where I come from. I am a bit of an introvert. I really don't like people. I really, really don't. It's because most people suck. So I communicate through here and it's great. But I thought to myself, look, this is going to be an adult crowd because everyone here has legit beautiful Fox bodies, like gorgeous. And this neighborhood seems to be very, very full of hot rod guys that are successful. And their hot rods of choice are either slam trucks, drag cars, or Fox bodies. So I go there with my hunk of junk thinking my thing is gonna stink up the joint. No, my car actually, because of the performance, the way it looks, even though it's a good 10-footer, it fit right in. And I met some of the nicest guys. I mean, there's people there that I'd rather not see. There's people that I know are known pieces of shit to me. But I didn't care about that. I said, let me just hang out with these people. And guys, they just were like, super chill, super cool. And now you know that there are people out there that if you need Fox body parts, if they end up selling a car, they'll let you know. They want to keep it within the group. That jalapeno red notch with a blower, I want that bitch. I want that car. If he ever sells it, I'll move heaven and earth to get it. It has an 86 GT front end, shaved engine bay, supercharged, but it would get a Coyote. Motor out, Coyote and T56 in, AC, and just fucking cruise the bitch because it was so clean. And the gentleman takes his time. He's meticulous. He knows his shit. And talk to him. I mean, everyone's house was open. And you could just walk up into their house, into garage, and just look at their shit. It was like the coolest thing I've done in a very long time. And I'm happy that I got invited out there and met some good people. Alex, how much for calf rating through Patreon? Fox Body Video was badass. The gray 4i was immaculate. That's Javier Livas. And he has a Ford GT with a 4.5 Whipple. You understand? A Ford GT with a 4.5 Whipple. The dude is doing okay. Started to think you hate society 100%. I do. I really do. But I had to get out there because I don't want to become one of those guys that never leaves the house, hates everything, and doesn't know what's going on out there. And there are actually good people out there. Best on what I can tell, people who own clean Foxes and older pushrod cars tend to be cool as hell and a wealth of experience. Anyone ever heard of the timing chain type sound of a 30,000 mile Gen 3? The car rattles under light acceleration and haven't been able to figure it out. Could be a phaser, could be a tensioner, could be guides, could be a bunch of things. Guy let you in his garage? Yeah. Guy let me... This car had... do you know what ROH wheels are? Steeda ROH wheels. One guy... Are they old Fox Body? Yeah. Some guy had these. I don't know. You're going to think they're gay. But ROH wheels back in the day were something else. Okay. So these. Oh, ROH wheels. Bro, he had these on a car on a rack. He had three notchbacks, two 93 Cobra black gray interior cars, and a hatch or a notch with Steeda ROH wheels, Pentar, whatever. Bro, I was like, I don't care about anything. I want those wheels. Super nice shit. Immaculate. The guy owns a landscaping company. The guy that invited me out there tunes all of his cars. That guy also owned the Calypso, the blue Vortec car, the Celine, the white Vortec car, and the car with the kicker audio. The guy does okay. Old school wheels. Would you take a GT over a GT500? I want to be honest with you guys. The more I talk to the guys down there, no. I want a super performance Cobra or a backdraft Cobra, hard top, Coyote, twin turbos out the bitch, death trap. I still want that. I think I can get a Viper easier because of financing. A super performance Cobra, unless I get some super duper special weird financing at a ridiculously high rate. I don't want to finance a super performance Cobra. I'd rather finance a Viper if I could, or just buy cash if I sell a couple of vehicles. Gen 3 rattling issue, usually phasers and tensioners. I had mine replaced at 30,000 kilometers. ROH wheels, been a long time since I heard that name. Them wheels are heat. Exactly, bro. All the Foxes were sweet, but that late 70s TA was my childhood favorite. Those look cool as shit and about what you expect for the time period. Do you consider us family? Us that follow you and support you? Ed Diaz, you guys know more about me and I know more about you than people that I've shaken hands with. Nobody knows more about my life. If you saw the dating channel, if you saw the... Nobody knows more about my life and my background than this chat. And I haven't shaken hands with half of you guys. And I hope to if I go to more events. And I'm going to try to do something like that. I mentioned something on Patreon about potentially traveling to meet people, probably at shows, for the specific reason of meeting people that follow me in that region. For example, Carlisle Car Show. Try to show up there, announce that I'm going to be there at a certain day so that if you do want to talk to me in person, shake hands, you know, meet people, because I have to do that. I think there's a certain connection you make with an audience, obviously in person, that you can't do over video. So I think if I am going to start offering that, and again, I'm not looking to get paid or nothing, all I want, and I'm not bringing merch, it's just going to be me. If you want to talk to me in person, maybe I can set up a little booth or something, talk to the car show people and just talk car shit for a day or two at these shows, maybe two or three times a year at car shows specifically, not Mustang Week. Mustang Week is AIDS, but I would do something like a Carlisle. I don't know if I do Ponies in the Smokies, but I would do something at an event or a area where people think I should go, and I can get the most bang for the buck there, like a big car show like that. And I think doing that is definitely going to help either grow the brand or at least put a face to a name or meet the guy that you talk to. One guy the other day at Texas 2K, we're talking. And he goes, hey, man, you know, we talked for about 10 minutes. And he goes, you mind if I take a picture? I go, no. And he put his hand on me and his hand went up. And he goes, oh shit, you're a big dude. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like 2 inches tall on your screen. That doesn't mean, he started laughing, but I think people are like taken aback a little bit because I'm not huge. I'm 5'11", 220, 219 right now. So when they like actually like physically, you know, talk to me, they're like, oh, it's just a different perception. Fat Force Forever, War in the Woods, watched a live stream for 2 years ago. A lot of the same people checking in. Alex over here making us blush. Seriously, you guys know more about me than most. You just do. That's why I wanted to go to the car show. So at the car show, anyone that wanted to know Coyote stuff, no offense, I know way more about Coyote stuff than anybody at that car show. I tuned one of the guys' cars that the Hush Money's motor went into. And if you want Coyote specific knowledge, I'm the guy. I am the guy. So when I go to these shows, who else are you going to learn more Coyote shit from than the guy that is known for Coyote shit specifically? And I'm no slouch when it comes to small block Ford stuff and Fox body specific stuff. But when it comes to Coyote platforms, I'm the guy. So I said, let me go to this show and do like a little test run. Luckily, the people that were there were like-minded. They knew some stuff. Javier, Sergio, a couple other guys that were retired, like really young, makes me think they're very successful. We just talked Coyote stuff and car stuff and future built stuff. And I was like, I could do this. I definitely could do this at a place where it isn't racy or weird. It's just sitting down, chill. You're not rushing back and forth. Because some of the most difficult conversations to have with people is when you're in the middle of turning a car around to go racing. I'm so sorry for the people that come up to me at Texas 2K and I'm rushing and I feel terrible that I can't sit there and give you the proper attention, because when you're racing, there is no that downtime, unfortunately. You can be like Charlie Kirk that sits at a folding table of colleges that debates anyone. Second Shift Racing. Hey, Second Shift Racing's people, they bought, what is that guy's car? Real Teal. So apparently, Second Shift Racing, the people, got their hands on Real Teal. What a great thing to keep around. That vehicle should belong in that camp or in a Ford-specific, you know, media-backed camp, because that car has to live on forever. Cars like Real Teal cannot disappear into the ether and just be gone. They have to be raced. They have to be seen. That car is too special not to be seen. That's why I'm trying to get Hush Money back, so I can get that sucker out there and get racing a little bit and go to shows and crap like that, just to have it out there because it has a story behind it. Alex, you and 337 Speed should link up for a video one of these days. I think his videos are more like him off camera and just announcing stuff. Live, I don't think it would work. But if he wants to like collab, I'm down. I'm 6 foot and I know Junior would make me feel like a midget. What up, Alex? I'm a Chevy guy, but I love the videos. Very informative. That's how you know you're getting older, bro, says Jamie. But it's a good thing, man. It's true. Guys, you're going to get there too. One day you're going to be sick of racing and you just want to hang out with your boys and talk car shit and then go racing on your own time. And I'm there. I have nothing to prove to anybody. I don't look for anybody's respect in the industry. I don't give a fuck about anyone's respect in the industry except my boss. And that's it. After that, I just want to go racing at Testin' Tunes and hang out with like-minded people, make some money, drop in some knowledge, build cars, and have a good time. Perfect group of people that own that car. Would you ever go to Ponies in the Smokies or Mustang Week? No. Leaving a like and I'll catch a replay later. Would it be cool to see the Notch while meeting you in the Fairmont? Yeah. If there's more meats available, like cars and coffee, there's a reason I'm doing the peasant chat at 8 o'clock at night. Cars and coffee, even though it's gay and full of kids and idiots, has pretty decent cars in it and a decent audience. I'll show up with my junker. Anyone has... If it runs a 9, that's an impressive car. A 9-second stick shift Notch is nothing to sneeze at. So I guarantee if I go to a car show in a notchback that runs 9 stick, it's pretty special. If I show up to a car show with an 1100 horsepower GT500, it's pretty special. ZR1, not really, because there's a lot of really nice cars there. But Hush Money, to me, would be the car to bring to places like that. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you very much for hanging out with me for a little bit. Today we talked about, who do you get your information from? Magazine writers, do they know anything, or do they just get the information from the manufacturer or the people selling the product? Then we played about 16 Diddy Meek Mill clips plowing each other. And then we talked about the elephant dick D-mass intake that a customer put on his car. And we made fun of his build for a little bit. And it was a good time. All right, guys, have a good rest of your day. I will see you guys on Thursday for YDBT Daily. And then remember, Peasant Chats are at 8 p.m. on Sundays. I'll look at the calendar. I'll see if Cars and Coffee is soon. I'll get to Cars and Coffee. Video, get your info, try to get you more videos. I ordered a P-Mass intake, with, not to be confused with the D-Mass intake, for the GT. Be on the lookout for this following video. Stock tune, P-Mass math data only. Then Lund tune with P-Mass data. Nobody has done a comparison to know if the actual cold air intake makes any difference on a stock tune. So I will take the stock tune, change only the math data. Everything else is stock. All the torque reduction, all the spark shit, stock. Then a Lund tune with a PMAS and do back-to-back apples-to-apples comparisons. That'll be the next video. Then I'm going to get some headers on it, and it'll just be tuned from then on, and we're going to work our way into the 11s. Once we get into the 11s comfortably, put a converter in it, put some suspension in it, put exhaust in it, and see how deep we can get to the 11s, take it to the actual drag strip. Then we shove a Roush blower on it, and it's going to be a whole bunch of fun. All right, guys, I'm out of here. I'll see you guys on Thursday, 8 p.m. for YDBT Daily. See you guys later. Have a good night. Bye-bye.